This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Who's excited about the Atlanta Falcons? These guys. We are Dukes and Bell. We're live at Flowery Branch where it's all going down today, and we're going to get a chance to talk to both of our first round picks from last night. But first, we start off every day and every hour by saying, hey, man, it is good to have you listening on this Friday. Mike Bell, I don't know if I've felt this good in a very long time when it comes to just the excitement level, the enthusiasm I have for potentially what this can be. I don't know what it's going to be. But I am excited that we now have some young guns that we believe in, that a lot of us watched, certainly Jalen at Georgia, probably more so than James at Tennessee. But either way, man, both of these guys highly touted. We're going to dive into it all day. But how excited are you, man?
You know, it's funny because we do these mock drafts, and sometimes we like to say you're too close to it. So you don't get the guy that you thought was the guy. And, to me, Carl, I ruminated. I thought about it. And I got to be honest, man, in Jalen Carter, you know the intangibles. You're getting leadership. You're getting a coach's son, and you're getting a stud. You're getting a guy that gets the job done, and just, I mean, everything you know about Georgia and the work ethic and everything that Kirby instills, NFL ready. And then in James Pierce Jr., you get a two-time All-SEC pass rusher, you know, who's rangy, and he's got the speed, he's got that, you know, they talk about that twitchy thing. So, you know, once I wrap my head around it, and you know, we talked to some folks liked it, some folks thought we reached, some folks thought it was great. I'm excited. I'm all in, and later on I'll tell you that all those things you're making fun of me, Carl, not being a hype man, I'm feeling like being a hype man for the
Falcons. Well, listen.
I'm thinking I'm going to be very excited.
I wouldn't expect anything less at this point. Let's go back to last night, because here is the moment that I think we all started kind of freaking out. And it worked out perfectly, guys. Listen, the football gods have blessed us today, okay? This fell into our lap, and it couldn't have been any more perfect. When we get to pick 14 and you start saying, okay, wait a minute, Tyler Warren, Colts, and you start looking at all the guys that are available, and you realize, and Mike's texting me, Jalen, capital letters, as in he's there. Are you serious right now? And right. Mike and I will tell you, and if you listen to us every day, we said there were guys we talked about. There were guys I think that may have rated better than some other guys. But at the end of the day, I said this is a top five overall draft pick you're getting. Some people say top three. You can't pass that up, regardless of my concerns, Mike. And we're going to talk to Jalen about the reach and the hands and the size. You couldn't pass up the versatility. And I said, if he's there, you got to take him. So Mike and I are tripping out last night at pick 14. And then Terry Fontenot's playing with our emotions because this damn pick took so long. How long did the pick take?
Well, you know they were going to take James Pierce, Jr. at 15. That's basically where
That's what they said.
They wanted him.
Yep.
And so it was like, ooh, if we pass, are we going to still be able to get our guy? And then it worked out again. But, yeah, you're right. I think, look, you knew there was folks who were really high on Jalen, and maybe, just maybe, you were going to get a trade that was going to make a lot of sense. We'll never know what they turned down. But at the same time, I'm with you. I'm like, why are we down? There's a minute and a half left. This is like the no-brainer of no-brainers. But, yes, they get Jalen Walker. I mean, you got a guy who just plugs in and is everything you could have wanted. That was a steal. I was losing my mind. I was on social media. I'm tweeting out. I'm going, we got to do this. We can do this. And so he's there. And then you get Pierce. And as I said, on second glance, and I watched the tape. I put his highlight package up on Twitter. This dude, man, again, some things like everybody else, Carl, is a rookie, getting coached up with, and hopefully Ulbrich, who apparently literally didn't sleep at all last night, according to Fontenot. Can't wait to work with this guy.
Yeah, and look, I still think when you ask me right now, where do they play Jalen? I don't know. I think they play him all over, but I know exactly where they're going to play James Pierce. And that's what we were talking about, Mike, leading up to the draft, is Pierce is a guy you just say, hey, do what you've been doing, and we're just going to help you with technique and get you better and coach you up. Jalen's a different kind of animal, but, man, he brings so much to the table. But, Falcon fans, here's the deal. We got what we wanted. We got what we wanted. We got what we've been crying about for the last 7 years, and why don't we draft an edge guy? and you got two SEC dudes.
Right, all SEC. I mean, these guys are the best of the best of the best.
Sir, I think for the first time in a long time, if you're not excited about what this defense potentially can be, and again, Rook, Trice, we signed, I'm trying to think, Mike, who did we bring in?
You got Leonard Floyd. You got Leonard Floyd on one side, Diablo at linebacker to help the edge.
And Ebiketie. I mean, like all of a sudden now the edge room looks completely different, and how you want to attempt to rush the passer looks different for us. Guys, we've been so limited, partly due to our personnel. And Mike, now this is why Jeff didn't sleep last night. Brick didn't sleep because he's like, are you serious right now? We're not done. And he's looking at the personnel and the matchups and how he's going to rotate guys in and out. He's got options.
Now you look at Rook, and Rook's got to step up. Are they going to keep on Yamada? Are they going to make a play for Jalen Ramsey? That could still be in the offing. Patrick was talking about that earlier today on Andy Randy.
Well, listen, there's a lot of corners still left on the board.
Big time.
If you want to go there.
I just did a mock with, there's a couple of guys that can, you know, certainly start at nickel as Hughes plays the other corner opposite A.J. Terrell and eventually become that guy opposite A.J. But, you know, Zach Harrison in the rotation, we talked about that. That was something A brought up, who's producing the show. You got a bunch of dudes, maybe another body. Maybe we go DT in the third or the fourth or corner, either way. But I think we got to get another defensive tackle.
I do, too. But you know what that means? Pick one, two, and three. Defense.
Had to.
And we've been saying, you got to do this. You got to address it. Let's not deny what we're lacking. By the way, James Pierce is going to stop by the show 4 o'clock hour around 4:40. Mm. We're going to talk to Jalen at around 4:55-ish, 5 o'clock or so. Make sure you stay here, man. We've got you covered all day long. And by the way, when it comes to the draft, as we said, night two tonight starts right after our show is done. And John Freaky, Joe Patrick will have you covered. But our coverage of the NFL draft continues all through the weekend. So we've got pick-by-pick coverage of the second round, third round tonight, or tomorrow, should I say, followed by late-night wrap-up shows that will take your calls and reaction. It's all brought to you by our local Honda dealers and by Window Nation. Buy four windows, get four free. NFL draft continues on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Here's the other thing that's interesting, Mike. And look, it didn't matter to me, but it mattered apparently to every other team. Mike Green sits there as the best edge rusher available going into day two.
Right.
And the issues we said, red flags, because I don't care. Listen, as a fan, some are more major than others. There are levels to red flags, right? For example, guy falling asleep in a meeting, it's a red flag. Guy having a sexual assault case, that's a different kind of red flag.
Right.
So when we talk about the levels of what was going on with Mike Green, he sits there today, and somebody, by the way, is going to take Mike Green. He's going to get picked. His level of pass rush is too high. Somebody will look past some of this stuff. But last night, it was about value. And if I took a guy that high and it doesn't necessarily work out and we knew about some of this stuff, what's that going to look like? We could potentially lose our job. So you not only saw the Falcons move on from that, Mike, but a bunch of teams. I mean, everybody else that were interested in him decided, at least in the first round, we're not going to go there.
No, man. I like the guy's tape. I think we all talked about, you know, as you just laid out, I wasn't there. I don't know if somebody went to UVA and has an inner knowledge, working knowledge of what happened that caused them to part ways. We talked about Micah Parsons was also kind of roped into some red flags about some things that happened off the field in his career. But that's somebody else's problem. We've got a guy who you could argue in James Pierce Jr. is a faster, taller version of Mike Green. Bigger. You know, he's maybe put some weight on in the middle, maybe in the dumper, because you don't want to get thrown around by some of the big tackles you're going to deal with. But yeah, he's basically a faster, taller version of the things you liked with Mike Green. So that's one thing. The Shedeur Sanders, and we'll have all day to talk about it. It was real. And now, again, I was really surprised the Steelers didn't pull the trigger. At 21, maybe they're still going to make it work with Aaron Rodgers. The Giants with Jackson Dart. That thing, and we'll dive into it with Brian McFadden a little bit later, but I was still surprised. I thought the Giants could have their cake and eat it too, and they scouted Shedeur Sanders but passed.
Yeah, and the Giants still have a bunch of picks in this draft. They could really make out if they continue to handle their business here in this particular draft. The Shedeur thing is, you're right. I mean, listen, we'll dive in, but here's what I do like about the Steelers. Look, however they evaluated the situation, they did exactly what they needed to do. They've got an aging defensive line.
Right.
And they said, we got to get better there. We got to replace it. And they did. This Derek Harmon kid they drafted is really good. But, Mike, I think they turn right back around and probably go get quarterback here in the second or third round.
That was a guy, Charles Davis, was talking to us about Harmon. And the other thing is, how about, you know, you and I talked about people being concerned about Michael Williams' ankle. No, he goes before Jalen Walker. And look, we talked about who are the brain trusts in the NFL you trust. I trust John Lynch and Shanahan. I certainly trust what the Rams have with Snead, you know, and certainly with McVay. But, man, they get Michael Williams for that D-line to pump some youth into it.
They needed it. They lost a lot of guys via free agency, salary stuff with the, salary hits and stuff. That's a great pick for San Francisco. There's no doubt. And then, of course, late in the draft, you just see, the Eagles go ahead and, oh, yeah, we're going to take Jahi Campbell. I know he's been falling. I told you he was slipping yesterday.
Right.
And then, but the Eagles end up with another potential great player. But there's no pressure.
No.
Because
work your way in.
They're so good, right. They can take a chance on him like that. Either way, Malachi Starks also gets drafted by the Ravens. Great stuff. They always seem to get their guy. But, man, we are super excited, and we want to know what you guys think. B-Mac is going to join us coming up in less than 5 minutes from now, and then we're going to open up the phones and take your phone calls. I just want to know your level of excitement. There are so many days we talk to each other, and it is completely negative.
Yes.
It is completely opposite of what you should be feeling today, because this is what the draft is about. The draft is about giving us a reason to hope that our team is taking the next step towards what we really want, and that's a Super Bowl. I'm not telling you we're going to do that next year,
right.
But, man, I feel good about, hey, you know what? We've addressed needs, and more importantly, you've got some guys. Mike, you know my phrase. Can he play? Both of these guys can play, and they can affect the game, man. I love these picks.
I was telling Carl last night, I was talking to Bucky. He's a guy I was trying to get on the phone earlier in the week. He was a walk-on at Tennessee back in the day, played for Philip Fulmer. And I said, what do you know about James Pierce Jr.? First of all, he goes, I'm sorry, Mark, I didn't have your number. That 404, I thought somebody was a salesman. Like, thanks, Bucky. I released some intel. He said the stuff about Pierce is nonsense. Said that there was some high school teammate who had an axe to grind, talked about him being like crazy, and some idiot ran with it, and that was part of the character thing. He's an intense guy, and you and I joked around all the time. Remember, we had this conversation last year. If you had a scouting report on me, anger issues, multiple arrests.
Yes.
Tremendous upside, yes. High risk, high reward. That would be Mike Bell's scouting report. So, I mean, look, I'm never going to get too one-sided on this, but as you said, there's some things. He had an expired tag on a car. I mean, Andy just talked about that on the show. He had that just happen to him. So, man, I'm excited, and I don't care. And now that I've had Carl a full, night to sleep on it and a day to think about it, I'm loving where we are. I'm with you.
Yeah, and look, whatever issues any of these guys have, once they get to their prospective teams, it's those teams' jobs. It's the Falcons' job. It's Ra's job. It's coaching staff's job to make sure that he's moved on from whatever issues they've had. What an exciting day, ATL. It's Dukes and Bell live at Flowery Branch. Abe's hanging out with us, by the way. He's up here helping us out today. We are going to get both of our first-round draft picks as the Falcons move back into the first round to get James Pierce at 26, Jalen Walker, 15th overall. They're both going to join us in the 4 o'clock hour. Let's talk to our man B-Mac right now, Bryant McFadden, two-time Super Bowl champion here with us on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. So, B-Mac, how surprised were you with what the Falcons did? And did you feel like we won the draft last night, at least in day one?
I wasn't surprised, man. We talked about this consistently leading up to the draft, the need to improve the defense, the need to improve the element of pass rushing. So attacking the defensive side, getting guys who can put pressure on opposing quarterbacks was a major necessity for the Falcons, and I applaud their efforts in doing so. Now, I was a bit surprised to see what they gave up to get back into the first round to go get James Pierce. But clearly the folks in the building felt like James Pierce was the number one edge rushing option available, and they wanted to do everything in their power to go get him. So it is what it is. But outside of that, man, we talked about this, can't put any pressure on quarterbacks. And I did some research, guys. The last time, and you guys probably know this as well, the last time the Falcons had a double-digit sack guy was 2016, Vic Beasley.
Right.
Like, the number one song on the Billboard charts was Justin Bieber, Love Yourself. That's how long it's been since they had a guy that can get double-digit sacks. And then most recently, the last time they had an individual with at least 7 sacks was 2019. So that has been an issue for the team for quite some time, so I applaud them in trying to improve that area.
Yeah, I know that we all had, as Carl and I were just having this conversation off the air, you get locked into some of these valuations and what the so-called, air quotes, experts are saying, BMAC. I had Mike Green higher than Pierce, but then when you look at it, Pierce is basically a bigger, twitchier version, you could argue, of Mike Green. We are kind of all, we're all kind of familiar with Jalen Walker. I mean, we'll talk about where he's going to play in a second. But what do you think of Pierce? Does it mean just little things, just getting coached up, technique, maturity, that'll all come?
You know what, Mike? I'm right there with you. In terms of Mike Green and James Pierce, I had Mike Green higher on my board. I felt like he was a better pass rusher. And I just love his physical mentality. You know what I mean? I think that's something that's needed when you're battling in the trenches. But clearly the folks inside the building there, Flowery Branch, felt otherwise. But the thing about James Pierce that really jumps off when you watch him is his burst and his athleticism. You know what I mean? Clearly running that good 40 time in Indy really confirmed everything that you saw from him throughout his time there with Tennessee. And I think that was the say-all, be-all, the athleticism, the burst. And he kind of fits what they already have in place. You look at Leonard Floyd, you look at his length, you look at the athleticism. James Pierce is probably like a younger version of a Leonard Floyd, but I would say he's faster.
Did we give up too much? Or do
yes.
you think – okay. Why? Why?
All right. So if you're the Rams, number one, the Rams were not taking an edge rusher, in my opinion. If you look at their front, all of those guys are still in rookie contracts and they're playing fairly well. So if you're the Rams, you are okay moving. But for the Falcons to give up their second-round pick and a first-rounder in 2026, along with a seventh-rounder this year, those – clearly the first two picks are value picks. The second rounder in next year's 2020, next year's first, wherever that might be, I felt like the Falcons could have waited a little bit because, to your point, Mike Carl, I felt like James Pierce and Mike Green, they're kind of living in the same neighborhood, right? So let's wait a little bit because I can tell you two teams are definitely willing to make something happen in terms of a move, Kansas City and Philadelphia. They've shown the ability to move out of the first round in years past. So I think I would have stayed put. Just stay a little patient. Stay a little patient. And have, and if Pierce is off the board, you still can trade up and maybe not give up as much as you gave up to get Pierce and still go get a high prolific pass rusher and a guy like Mike Green.
It is Brian McFadden, guys, two-time Super Bowl winner, our weekly visit, talking about the draft. We'll talk about corners because that's something on the board for us, along with maybe DT coming up in a second. But let's talk about Jalen Walker. I mean, leadership, championship, I mean, everything. Coach's son, that phrase came up a lot last night, too. I mean, you got everything you're looking for. And again, a steal, Brian, the fact that he fell to us at 15. I guess the only thing was they were maybe looking to still trade down because they obviously like Pierce. How does he play? How do they use him off the jump? Because it's 6'1". Can he handle off the tackles? How do you use him to get after the quarterback in the NFL?
That's the thing. I think he would be more of like a joker type of player for their defense. He's an off-ball linebacker, very, very instinctive, but yet and still he can rush the passer as an edge rusher. So now you have to get creative. I look at how Dallas utilizes Michael Parsons from time to time. You know, sometimes he's an off-ball linebacker. Sometimes he's an edge rusher. Sometimes he lines up the three technique in situational packages, and you run stunts with him. Jalen has that ability, and he's very, very strong at the point of attack. Yes, he's not 6'5 or 6'4 or 6'3, but he's still strong at the point of attack, and he plays with good leverage. And he's a three-down player. You know what I mean? So the versatility that he has is something that can really benefit and help the entire defense out because he can play multiple positions, and he's not a liability in doing so.
Yeah, it's interesting. B, let's talk about your guys. And I think everybody was surprised as Pittsburgh. Now, I think they did the right thing. This is the brilliance, I believe, of the front office in never trying to say, you know, they're going to do what we think or go and reach out of pocket and say, oh, we needed that, and so we're going to go get it. They desperately need to get younger on that defensive line, and they got a good guy in Derek Harmon. But you had to be surprised that Shador is sitting there and 21 pops up and the Steelers don't do it.
Yes, I was surprised because that's a need for the Pittsburgh Steelers. And I, for one, felt like Shador Sanders' tape was good enough to be selected there. Now, what we're hearing coming from this entire process, listeners, is that, and I can't confirm or deny that these allegations or these speculations are true, but we're hearing the interview process wasn't as appealing for a guy like Shador Sanders. We're hearing that, you know, when you go into an interview process, and all of us that's on this call right now, we've had to be involved in an interview. And for our listeners, our adult listeners, the same could be said for you as well. Hear me out with this situation. When you go into an interview process, it's your job to sell yourself to whoever it is that's interviewing you. So sometimes you got to change up things, your mindset, how you handle yourself, because you want to make them feel like we need him to be a part of what we're doing. And from what I'm hearing, and like I said, these are just things that I'm hearing. I was not involved in the interview process. I'm hearing that was not the case. I'm hearing it was a sense of, I don't want to say being overly confident, but it's like, if you don't draft me, oh, well, you're going to pay. Like, these are things these organizations don't take well to. And I know firsthand because I once was a drafted player and I once was involved in these interview process. And when I walked into the interview room, I'm the type of person, I'm a yes or no sir type of guy anyway, because that just shows respect. But also, too, I will exercise humility in terms of the dialogue that I'm having with organizations, because I want them to see I'm a humble individual and I love working and I want to do everything I need to do to be able to be an asset to your team. I think that's the issue. All I'm saying is these are things that I've heard. So you got to look at it like this, guys. Mike Call, if you're thinking about bringing a guy into your organization to play a prominent position, and he kind of shows off to be more brashful than anything, not forthcoming, are you more inclined to draft him? Or would you be more inclined to draft another player that exercises humility from start to finish, and he seems to be a team player? Not saying Shador isn't, but these are the things that you like. I think you got to decide with the latter.
Well, being here, listen, I hear what you're saying. It's Dukes and Bell Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. As we talk with Brian McFadden here about the draft last night, this is one of the big storylines that will head into tonight's draft in round two. B, we know there have been guys in the past, quarterbacks, that have not interviewed well, yet they've still been drafted. And you're telling me that's what held Shador out of the first round? That is weak sauce. It is all about these bits and pieces, right? Combine's a bit and piece. Tape, bit and piece. Talking to their coaches, a bit and piece. Interview process, bit and piece. Medical. And you're telling me that he's the guy because he interviewed, apparently, again, you weren't there, I wasn't there. But if that's what kept him out of the first round, we know for a fact there have been other quarterbacks in the past in the National Football League that have done worse, that have had less personality, that couldn't draw plays on a board and still got drafted. So I have a hard time buying that. I don't know what it is, but I'm with you, and I felt the same way. But either way, do you think he's going to get picked tonight?
I hope so. I hope so. And listeners, I'm just telling you what I heard. I don't feel that way. I'm basing my assumption off what I saw on Saturdays. And I will also add to this, Mike Carr, I've heard that a lot of NFL teams were not high on his tape. They were not high on his tape. A lot of people were. We were high on his tape from the outside looking in, but a lot of individuals who really dissect the tape were not high on the tape. So now if you're not high on his tape and you just didn't love the interview process, he came off as a bit bashful, making demands, saying this, saying that, of course you're probably going to turn to the other option. I'm just telling you, I wanted Pittsburgh to draft him. Me personally, you don't understand how I felt when I did not see his name called. I took a knee like I was in church saying a prayer. I broke down. Right. But now as I do my due diligence and I kind of put my ear to the streets, I'm hearing a lot of the same things from different people from within different organizations. You can't walk into an interview and make demands like you're the best thing since sliced bread. Now, see, you got to understand, his old man had that type of bravado because he was one of one. Right. Most people felt like Shador Sanders' his tape wasn't like that. So if they feel like your tape is not like that, you got to win them over in other areas.
I'm with you. And again, I still think to Carl's point, he's paying for the sins of his father. It's our man Brian McFadden. Before we cut you loose, he played corner. It was really good. Will Johnson, people scared by his medical. He's still out there. Trey Amos from Ole Miss. Benjamin Morrison from Notre Dame. Just off the top of my head, if we do move again, which who knows, man, Riverboat Terry. But maybe we go get a corner. Who of those guys do you like the best? Because we need to get another corner. Help the nickel.
I love Trey Amos. I love his length. He reminds me a little bit of Rasul Douglas with his length and how disruptive he is at the line of scrimmage. I love Suvon Revel from East Carolina coming off an ACL, but it sounds like he should be ready to go at some point in time during the start of the season. Right. And you talked about Will Johnson. I think he's the most glorified. I know. He has been the most glorified collegiate corner over the last 3 years, but he's still available. But it's all about the injuries. And the thing that really hurt Will Johnson is because he finished the season injured, and when he did his personal workout, he didn't do anything to showcase the speed is back where it needs to be. You know what I mean? And I think that really hampered his potential of being drafted clearly by now, because he went through the drills, but you didn't run. You know what I mean? And speed is a necessity when you're playing the cornerback position. So there's a lot of corners that's available. Now, the one caveat is Atlanta doesn't have a second-round pick, right? So how can you finesse trying to go get one of these type guys that could be a second-rounder when you don't? You know, do you want to continue to be, what you call them, Riverboat Terry, and try to find a way to get back into the second round and go get a difference maker? But at some point in time, guys, you're going to run out of resources.
Hey, just because we're on the subject, the other thing that came up the last couple of days, we're going to be in play because Raheem Morris's relationship with Jalen Ramsey. He's gotten worse everywhere he's gone. You still think Jalen Ramsey is good enough to be worth the money?
$24 million is high-level pay for a corner. And I don't think he's that high-level player like he once was, but I still think he could really be a difference maker. It's up to Atlanta, because if you bring him in and he's receiving $24 million, he's playing corner. That's for sure. Yeah. Like, he's not playing nickel. He's not playing safety. He's playing a corner. And will the organization, do they feel like he still has what it takes to be able to receive that compensation and also to deliver on the goods? I think you got to try to take a chance on him, because – for Miami, I don't know if there's a team that would be willing to trade for Jalen Ramsey, eating his entire salary for this year. So if you're the Dolphins, you're probably going to be in a tough situation where you might have to eat some of the money that he's supposed to see this season to make it easier for him to be moved. And if that's the case, if you're Atlanta, you're all in anyway. It seems like they're rolling the dice. Riverboat Terry is making aggressive moves. If they're willing to eat some of that salary, bring Jalen Ramsey to town and let's make everything happen.
It does feel that way after we, again, move back into the first round. B is right. We have a third-round pick. Rams got our second, seventh this year, and then they get our first next year. B-Mac, always a pleasure, man. We'll talk to you next week about the totality of the draft. Brian McFadden, have a great weekend. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
All right, when we come back, we're going to let you hear the moment in which these names were called. How did you feel? And we want to hear from you at 404-726-0929. Mike, how often do we talk to our audience? And it's, you guys! Today, it is all love.
Happy, happy, joy, joy. Happy, happy, joy, joy.
We should be all feeling great about the direction of our football team. And if you're not, I don't know what to tell you. Mm. By the way, Jalen Walker, James Pierce are going to join us in the 4 o'clock hour. We're coming back here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, live at Flowery Branch. It is Dukes and Bell. We're talking about our excitement and enthusiasm for the Falcons picks last night. Abe's up here with us. Turtle's back at the studio. He is helping us out today, running our board. And it's funny because I asked Abe off the air. I said, hey, how you feeling about this, by the way? Because Mike and I have been, you know, texting all day, all night.
Right.
And Abe's like, I couldn't sleep. I'll be honest, Falcon fans, a lot of people didn't sleep last night. Or at least you went to bed way later than you did, because you felt exactly what we're feeling today, which is, did they just do this, Mike? Did they just do what we thought?
When we moved back up, my first initial thought was it was going to be Malachi Starks. Mm. That's what I thought initially when we moved in to the 26th pick. But then, you know, and I thought, okay, then it's Mike Green. And it was Pierce. Like I said, I tell Carl to start the show. It just took me a while. BMAC has still not gotten there 100%. Because, you know, Pierce is coming with, you know, some things you're going to coach up, but he's got the raw size and the speed. You can't coach that speed, man. I mean, this guy's just unbelievable. Yes, a bunch of guys hit us up. So imagine if Chuck Smith was coaching. Yeah, I imagine. Imagine if Coach Smith was coaching our defensive players for like a decade. But he'll get the coaching with Ulbrich. So I'm excited. But I'm with you. I was just so over the moon that Jalen Walker was there. It just blew my mind.
Yeah. It's a great pick, guys. There's not anybody in their right football mind is saying that is a bad pick.
Nope.
No one.
And a lot of guys, like I said, now, there's some folks like B that were, they thought maybe we, a little too much value, we gave up. But, hey, man, there's other guys who say we won draft night.
Yeah.
When's the last time you can say the Falcons won anything when it came to the draft?
No doubt, man. And it's not just hype. It is you fit need. And we'll let you hear a little bit later on. Gerald McCoy was on NFL Network last night. First thing he said. Like, they go to the guys at the desk, and he's sitting there like, you know, he played for Tampa, so he didn't like to say it, but he's like, I hate to say it. Falcons won this thing tonight, man. And it's just funny because the reality is exactly that. Now, how does it translate? Guys, I don't know, but this offseason is going to be fun. Camp, all of a sudden, Mike, is going to be even more exciting to see these young guys going at it.
Right.
There's just a lot to get up for now, and we're not even talking about the offense. We're solely focused on the defense right now,
Well, again, the offense, I mean, you know, just like I said, if you could just unlock the frigging mystery that is Kyle Pitts, then all of a sudden you're like, wow, there's not a lot of weaknesses. Now, 2016, I don't think we knew how good Devondre Campbell was in the fourth round. Certainly we had talked about Debo. We were expecting Debo, you know, in the first round, and he came in the second. Keanu Neal, of course, was – those guys were so good, as I said to Carl the other day. They burned bright, but it didn't last very long. But those guys had an impact. Can these guys have the impact? Because right now, let's just take it incrementally. We got to beat the Bucs. We got to get the Bucs out of the way to win this division. Get us another home game. And from there, then the sky's the limit. You know, we're going to see what the schedule looks like. But, I mean, we know who we got to play. I'm excited. I mean, said to Carl, I wasn't going to be all hypey. I wasn't going to be all giddy. But now I know when we're doing the show at Hooters in a couple of months to start camp, I'm going to be like, woohoo! Because these two, we got two all-SEC studs. I mean, which you're going to be fighting and probably winning the starting job. And can't wait to see him in the rotation.
404-726-0929. Want to take a few of your phone calls. Want to know what's your excitement level. Is it 10? Is it 9? Is it 8? If it's anywhere below 5, don't call. Because I don't understand what you watched.
I don't want to hear it.
Or what you're saying.
I don't want to hear about it.
I mean, seriously, if it's under 5, like if you were to call today and be like, yeah, it's a 5. A 5?
Yeah. You know what?
Nobody expected us to do what we did last night.
And it's funny. I told Carl earlier today, before he went in with Andy Randy, I was talking with Terry Fontenot, our general manager. I said, hey, man, I know I've been killing you the last few years. I said, I'm really excited. Great job. I mean, it's a ballsy move, man. And can't wait to see these guys in action. And then Terry knows. He knows the criticism that comes with that kind of position. And,
Hey, Terry.
But, I mean, that's aggressiveness. And, again, we give us some credit because we did say, you know, if there's a chance to do some stuff or you're using equity from next year, go for it. Because you might not have a job if you don't get in the playoffs.
But I don't care about next year. I mean, I hate to be that guy, but, like, that's how I live. I'm sorry. I mean, most of you, I mean, if you were to tell me, hey, we're going to have 3 first-round picks in 2029, I don't care. All I care about is next year, and that is why I want us to put the best football team on the field come September when I'm at Mercedes-Benz, and it's time to introduce your Atlanta. Let's go. That's all I care about.
Here's the thing. Right now, there's guys like, man, okay, let me go to NFL.com. Walker jersey. So we find out, you know, what digits he's going to be rocking and all that, because this is the – and again, we said this for years. It's not to draft a dog for drafting dog's sake. No, it's the perfect fit. And this was a guy that, as we said, can't wait to see how we're going to use him. That was the only question was, is he like the Swiss Army knife? How do you get the most out of him? Hey, that's a good problem to have.
All right, want to jump on the phones. I want to take Allison here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Going to let you hear the moment last night and also that precious phone call that the Falcons had to deliver to both of these guys, I think is priceless. But Allison, thank you for listening. As always, you're on Dukes and Bell. Talk to us.
My excitement level last night and right now, it's at infinity, or it's at least at 50,000, okay? I'm at least at 50,000. Because, first of all, we drafted somebody from Athens, and mind you, I'm a Georgia Tech girl, so, you know, I know good when I see it, and Jalen Walker, not only is he good, he's great, okay?
Yeah.
The dude just gets after it. James Pierce Jr., I didn't see him play a lot, but he's tall, he's big, you know, like you said, add, you know, get brother down there, the busy bee, fill him up on some fried chicken, and let's get, you know, put some weight on him. But right now, I'm very excited. We got two great defenders, the Boo Hoo and potential, plus Braylon Trice is coming back from an injury. Hopefully, Zach Harrison gets used in the rotation. We got Rook. I mean, just having guys on the Kentavious Street, just having rotational guys on that defensive line is going to be awesome. It's going to be phenomenal. I'm looking forward to it. So I'm hyped about it, okay? You know, I got into the first game until they let me down. But until then, I'm hyped.
Yeah, and you know what, Allison? Here's the thing. I mean, for the first time in a long time, It's third down.
And we might actually get somebody off the field.
This place will be electric because right. that is going to be Jalen Walker time. It's right. going to be James Pierce Jr. time. All of a sudden, it's going to be Leonard Floyd time. Like that. Now we got to – let's get off the field, man. Allison, I don't know about letting us down. I'm hoping that's not the case. Thank you so much for the phone call. It's Dukes and Bell. Brian, you're on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Hey, man, how are you feeling? What's your enthusiasm level?
Hey, man.
Hey, man.
I'm at about a 10. I'm ecstatic about this. One way I like to look at it for all the naysayers who said we gave up too much, last year Terry was well known. He was trying to trade back up to get Latu in the first round, which would have cost us our first this year plus more.
Right.
Which would you rather have, Fenix and Latu, or Fenix, James Pierce Jr., and Jalen Walker?
This combo.
Right.
This combo.
Right, right, right.
Yeah, I totally agree, Brian. Look, and there's always a price when you make a move. Again, we make the trade. We get picks 26, or should I say last night, and we get a third-rounder this year. We gave up, obviously, our first to the Rams, and then they get a second, a seventh. I mean, look, this is the price of doing business.
Right, right.
But if you believe, like, hey, this is our dude, we're going to go get him and he's going to help us, it should not matter. Like, the cost of doing business, when you go into a store and you pay for merchandise, you don't think about it. You want it. You need it. You right. get it. That's how you have to look at this, Mike. I know we're talking about commodities, but these are people.
Hey.
But the fact is, it's the same thing, man. And it's exchange. I want that. Give it to me.
When I bought the car after Christmas, I didn't need it. I just did it. But in this case, we needed it, and we did it. And we've got a guy, as we said, once you get your head around what this guy is going to be, and again, the immaturity thing. I mean, I think of like Leonard Floyd as like a mentor type for this guy. You know, there's a guy that's been in the wars. He's a consummate professional.
Hope so.
He's won a Super Bowl. You know, you got Ra. And that's another thing, man. I know we've talked about it. When things aren't going well and we're getting a lot of coach speak from Ra, sometimes you roll your eyes. Players love this guy. He is well-respected around the league. And I think Coach Ra will have a tremendous impact on the development of James Pierce.
Let's hope so. I mean, I agree with you. I think going to the right place. This is why we always talk about going to the right place.
Right.
You can go to a team, and if that coach doesn't get you, or the staff doesn't get you, sometimes it doesn't work out regardless of your talent. Randy, you're on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Hey, man, what's your enthusiasm level, Randy?
I'm at a 10.
I say that again.
Got out of Terry, man. You know,
say that again. Hold on. What's your enthusiasm level? Hold on. What's the enthusiasm level?
I'm at a 10, man. I'm at 10.
Oh, good, right, good. Right, okay, right. Man. All right.
Go yeah, for it, brother.
All right, baby. Go for it.
Hey, scrap those picks here. And what's up with D-Legs and we gave up 2 months and we should have got Mike Gray.
Yeah, listen, this is the thing, man. Everybody, I shouldn't say everybody. There are a lot of people, Mike, who feel like this character thing that we've been talking about
right.
applied in some instances in the past, didn't apply here. You're overlooking certain things. Look, I don't think that we gave up too much. I understand the premise, but at the end of the day, I'm saying it again. I think if you have the conviction to say, this is my guy, like last year, Michael Penix, I don't give a damn what anybody thinks, we're going to go get him. That's how they felt. Happy Friday, everybody. It's Dukes and Bell live at Flowery Branch, hanging out as we'll get a chance to talk to our latest Falcons. Both Jalen Walker and James Pierce are going to stop by the show in the 4 o'clock hour. In the meantime, we're talking to you because it's one of those rare days, Mike, where everybody feels pretty damn good in Atlanta about this team and the direction they're headed after last night's draft. If you're just joining us again, Jalen Walker, 15, he fell to us. Look, he should have been gone. And just the fact that he's sitting there, you know, it would have been a monumental mistake if the Falcons chose to pass him. They didn't. They didn't pass.
Right.
They take him, and then we go, all right, what are we going to do tomorrow? And then they move back into the late first round, Mike, at 26, make the trade with the Rams, and we get James Pierce Jr., and then you're going, holy crap, we got two edge rushers?
Yeah, guy just hit me up on Twitter, follow us, Carlos, put him up, C-Dukes, I'm Mike Bell, ATL, and he said, from an overall perspective, you judge the trade based on both picks, not just the one, because the trade was as much about accommodating the Walker pick as it was getting Pierce. That
That's
was
true.
From Tia Wee Dat Peach, nice handle. And so I said back, I said, yeah, I mean, I think certainly they were definitely going to take Pierce at 15. Randy asked, you'll hear that conversation coming up next, right, Carl?
Yes.
And you'll hear the GM here on 92.9 The Game. Terry kind of equivocated on that, but my spidey sense thinks that, yes, we were locked in on Pierce, so they get the guy. They move up, and at the end of the day, this is your second-round pick. The big question is, do you sweat? This is where you really debate. I think Brian McFadden had a problem with us giving up the first-rounder, but you got to give to get. And if this guy's all world, we're going to not have a problem. We got two all SEC studs. We've just brought some amazing elements into our pass rush. So I'm cool with it.
We're going to jump back on the phones. Before we do, as part of our 4th and 1 segment, guys, brought to you by Priority Men's Medical Centers. Check them out at PriorityMen'sMedical.com. I want you to hear the moment, because last night it felt like it took 25 minutes. And as that clock was counting down, you're going, okay, Terry, come on, man. Rob, what are we doing? What? Let's go.
You know they're fielding calls.
Oh, no doubt.
And they're trying to – because like we always said – see, I love the idea of trading down, but not trading down and passing on Jalen Walker.
Yeah, because there are some guys you just don't pass on under the circumstances where we are. But this is the moment. And then after this, you'll hear the phone call. Now, the phone call's prior to the pick, but I thought it was pretty cool, and the Falcons recorded it, as many teams do. But this is the moment last night.
With the 15 picks in the 2025 NFL Draft, the Atlanta Falcons select Jalen Walker, defensive end, Georgia.
Jalen, Terry, what's going on? Where you at, man?
Man, I'm at the crib. I'm in Salisbury, man.
You're in Salisbury? Well, you know the good news, Arthur doesn't even have to send a plane for you, man.
Hey, man, send that.
You ready, man?
Hey, it was meant to be, man, all right?
Hey, man.
Hey, I'm going to put you on with Raheem right now, okay?
Man, I got you.
And then start walking your ass this way.
Hey, man. Hey, man, I'm on the way.
Start walking your ass this way. It's time to go, man.
Yeah, no, definitely.
Hey, let's go, man. Come stay home, bro.
That, of course, right at the end. And you hear the excitement in Jalen's voice. Obviously, he's talking about Salisbury, North Carolina. Start walking your blank here. I mean, hey, let's go. And I love seeing that behind the scenes, Mike. That's become more prominent over the last, I don't know, 10 years or whatever. We used to didn't get that from teams, but I think it's cool because fans always want to know, like, what was the moment, man, you got the phone call?
Right, and just the excitement, the enthusiasm. He's a Carolina kid. Both our guys are Carolina kids. Pierce Jr. is from outside Charlotte.
Yep.
But you got a guy that, you know, knows Atlanta, you know, knows the Falcons. It's funny because when they asked him, you know, everyone always goes, I'm just happy to be on any team. No, this is one of those teams he wanted to be on, which is great to hear. We'll ask him about it when we get him in the studio here in our Ticketmaster studios at the Branch. But, yeah, that's just gold, man. And that's because, I mean, any dad's dream, and his father has coached up there in college, a small college, Catawba, for years. So very cool.
All right, what's your enthusiasm level, man? Where you at, Falcon fans? Rise up, 404-726-0929. Let's talk to Chris on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Chris, where you at, man? Thank you so much for listening. Hey, man.
Yes, sir, thank you. I'm in a truck heading down Highway 20 back to Beaufort, and I'm at a 10. But, again, I got to see the product on the field myself. I mean, after last year, I was excited. I went to that first game in Pittsburgh. Oh, man, I was just really disappointed. I took my money to a JV school, went to that game, bought the stadium hot dogs, and gave the rest of the money I spent on tickets to the team to buy equipment with. That's how disappointed I was.
Oh, so he's happy. Sadness, obviously, to start the season, happy now.
Yeah, look.
Need one more stop in that Steeler game. We might have won it.
No doubt. And by the way, that was a very close game. Yeah. Justin Fields was the quarterback in that game against us. But here, let me help you just real quick. Every year's different. This is the hardest part as a sports fan. We linger on the past so much that we live in it. Let last year go. You know how hard it was to be in this city when we lost the damn Super Bowl?
Right.
Let it go. We got to move forward. So I just want to help you, Chris. I hear you. He's like, I got to see the product on the field. I ain't doing a damn thing until I see the product on the field. Let it go. We have to move forward. Right. And moving forward is last night. That's the start of next season and us, Mike, turning the page.
As we said, I mean, look, we've talked about the front office and some moves. It's been a lot about offense. You know, we've talked about how the process went down, who wanted who, was Arthur Smith when he was here. Again, as you said, rearview mirror. Here we are, 2025. We're excited about Penix Jr. The next mission is unload Kirk Cousins, you know, lion butt, and let's get on with it and see what we can get. And maybe that happens, maybe it doesn't. But that's a minor thing. I'm not even thinking about Kirk Cousins today with what we added.
I agree. Let's talk to the other Chris here on hold. James Chief, we'll get to you guys. Chris, hey, man. Talk to us.
Hey, man. I'm on a gazillion, man. Last night was one of the best nights as a Falcon fan in recent years. I've been beating the drum, you guys, for a defensive player. You know, we went through the past three drafts picking offense, but when the pick was, you know, hanging there, and like you said, Carl, Conte's on there going 40 seconds. 35 seconds. I was clutching my pillow, Mike, like, please, God. And let me just tell you, when they said Walker's name, you could hear it on the radio, the fans down there at Mercedes-Benz going crazy. We've been waiting for a moment like this. You know, we all are Falcons fans. We've been through it, but you said it. Let's move forward. The curse of the Bulldog is over after 60 years. We got two young studs on defense, and let's get ready for a great season, man. And one last thing. I'm so glad that Uncle Arthur made all those guys go down to Georgia, took the 20 people down there. I think that made a difference, and let's ride out to the season. Peace.
Good stuff, right, man. Right. Chris, thank you so much. Explanation of just the feeling. Listen, the crowd last night at Mercedes-Benz explodes. I don't know where you took the draft in. I've seen all the different videos and people posting stuff, man. It was just like that roar you heard around right. The state of Georgia. It was that was that relief, Mike. Like, oh my God, they finally did something we hoped they would do. And look, there's no unless you've lived this like we have. Like other fan bases, they can tell us all they want, Mike. Until you've lived it,
right.
You just, you know, you can't express that feeling of you don't understand.
No, I mean, this is like take yourself back to, I don't know, you're 8 years old and you really wanted the G.I. Joe with the Kung Fu grip. And you got the Evel Knievel set. You got both. You got both, man.
Both?
I came down Christmas morning. I got G.I. Joe and Evel Knievel. That's what we got now. We'll figure out which one's going to be which. But that's the way I feel. And again, the only hesitation I had, which took me basically till the midday today, was just getting past the other guys I had in my own mind earmarked. Then you realize if you have a certain guy you like, if you like Mike Green, this guy is actually a more athletic Mike Green by any, you know, measurable. Everyone's talked about his speed and athleticism. Can't wait.
Here's the deal.
Talk about Pierce Jr.
Yes. I don't know if he's a better pass rusher, but we'll find out.
Right.
That's the stuff that is debatable. Some teams say yes. Some teams say no. We're going to find out. Let's see what James has to say on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. James, hey, man.
Hey, man. I'm on with Deuce Bell. I'm on.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Hey, man. Hey, I'm on whatever number that Jalen Walker's gonna get this season, man. Whatever his number gonna be, that's the level I'm on. Maybe a 97, right, maybe a 80 something, maybe a, I don't care what number it is. I'm up there. Bill, I just wanted to ask you, brother, were we not desperate? Like, forget the picks for next year. Terry explained it perfectly to me, from Andy and Randy. He said that we traded, we moved up because we wanted to pick for this season.
Right.
So we would have drafted another defensive end next season. It really wouldn't have mattered, you know? But that's how I feel, man. I'm excited. I'm extremely happy, bro. I cannot believe how happy I am, bro.
Right on, man. I love it. And again, obviously, we were talking to Brian McFadden last night, and he was kind of lukewarm on it. And that's why I kind of tempered my expectations. But yeah,
was the initial reaction, Mike. From people who don't cover this team every day and just the general sports folks who say, oh, they reached or that was a bad trade. And then, as you said, when you start to dissect it and you look at it, I do agree with Terry on this. Right. We were going to do the same thing next year. Why not do it this year?
And again, if you're going to be picking 27th at the Rams, the thing is, as long as it works, you know, when you say blank those picks, it's got to work.
Yeah.
You know, and obviously it has worked for the Rams. But, man, we've got Leonard Floyd, and then you're going to have this big rotation, all these young studs. Braylon Trice we've talked about. You know, I still think we're a little thin in defensive tackle. If we move on from Onyemata, I mean, we're going to bring some undrafted free agents. There's going to be a bunch of big bodies I can imagine coming in with some corners, depending on what we do this rest of the week. Again, but I'm excited, man. And yeah, I just at the time I was a little, you know, and then you see all the guys from analytics to ex-players going, I love this movement. People say we won the draft.
Absolutely. Day one, there's no debating it. And by the way, the draft for the first part of the draft kind of went expected.
Right.
Will Campbell, Abdul Carter, Travis Hunter. The trade, though, with the Jags, that was a shocker, obviously, at the top of the draft. But Travis Hunter still goes 2 overall.
Right. And remember, when we were on the air yesterday for Mercedes-Benz, the talk was they were coming up for Genty. You know, because no one really, I mean, we didn't even mention Hunter. And the thing is, I do love now with this coach, you know, that comes up from Tampa Bay. You got Liam Cohen. You got a guy who said, and there, he's been on record yesterday about imaginative with the play calling and utilizing this guy. Because you and I talked about it.
No, he's
solid. Can you work 85 to 90 plays with this guy? We'll find out.
Yeah, look, Liam is a very good play caller. And look, I thought he was probably 2 years away from getting a head coaching job.
Right.
Stuff happens.
Right.
He gets his opportunity. He runs
with it. But not afraid from utilizing, again, all this, it is you and I debated what the usage rate on both sides of the ball will be. We'll find out.
No
but
doubt.
They're not afraid to go down that road.
All right, one more call. Chief, before we let you hear what Terry Fontenot had to say with our guys Andy and Randy coming up here live from Flowery Branch. Chief, man, what level are you on right now? Where are you at?
What's happening, Chief? I ain't thought y'all
hey,
in a while.
What's
cool?
up, Chief? What's going on?
Hey, my excitement level, I'm so excited. You know what? I ain't been Knicks excited since they had 2-for-1 special at Magic City on lemon pepper wings. I'm telling you, I'm real excited. I mean, no, I'm seriously. You know what? If anybody in this city, if you're not listening to 92.9 for your new draft pick, something's wrong. All right?
Right.
Stay tuned. I want to hear the interview. Hey, guys, I'm loving it.
Thank you, man.
Chief, by the way, has got some vision problems. If we win the division, bro, I'm going to get you a C&I lap dance.
Ooh, that's solid.
Thank you.
2-for-1 wings, though? He ain't lying about that at Magic City. Like that's excitement right,
right
there.
Right on.
Hey, man, coverage of the NFL draft continues on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game all the way through the final pick on Saturday at 6 p.m. So don't forget, we got pick-by-pick coverage, second and third rounds tonight at 6. It begins and followed by late-night wrap-up shows, guys. All the reaction. And it's brought to you by our friends at Honda, our local Honda dealers, and Window Nation. Buy 4 windows, get 4 free. The NFL draft continues on Sports Radio.
Yeah.
Falcons said last night, are you not entertained? As they went back into the first round to get another pass rusher. It's Dukes and Bell live at Flowery Branch, guys, hanging out 4 o'clock hour straight ahead, and we're going to get a chance to talk to both of our newest Falcons. Stay tuned for that. But we want you to hear what Terry Fontenot had to say on Andy and Randy on the midday show as he stopped in today. And they were just talking about the excitement level for everybody. And listen, Terry kind of summed it up with his first statement.
If you can't put on the tape and watch Jalen Walker and Pierce, if you put on that tape and watch them play and you don't get excited, you don't like football.
Right.
It's that simple. Mm-hmm. And any game, put it on, even you go back to their high school tape, put on a game and see the way those dudes play with their hair on fire and fly around and get after the quarterback. If you can't get excited about that, then you just don't like football.
Let me ask you this, because I don't want to say surprised, because you can't afford to be surprised.
Yeah.
You're prepared for all of it. But at what point pre-15 did you start to think Jalen Walker might be there for you guys?
Yeah, good question. And because, you know, those first, call it 7 picks, they came off like chalk, exactly what everybody expected. And it was kind of unique. And that was the first time where when you get in that 8, 9, 10, where it's kind of started going off and these offensive linemen start going and a receiver and kind of – and so we said, you know what, there may be some defensive players down there that we don't expect, because we always work off worst-case scenario, and that's how we always have to work. So as opposed to saying it's a surprise, I say we're excited he was there, and because now you get to that point and there's some really good defensive players that we're staring at, so we're really excited that he was there.
What took so long, Terry? Because we were sitting there, we were all sitting there like, okay – okay, he's there, because I promise you, when tight end goes 14, and we're all like, oh yeah, like, he's there.
He's
look,
there.
We got a brand new draft. Have y'all been in the draft room?
Of course not.
No. Okay, we'll take y'all up there.
Can we go?
We'll make sure, Dave. Seriously, we'll take y'all in there. Maybe after the draft.
But
maybe
seriously,
the last
when
day.
When you're down, what decisions are? Obviously, you're the player. But was there something else going on?
No, that's what I was about
minutes?
To tell you. Okay. We got this brand new draft room,
uh-huh.
And we're taking advantage of all that airtime. You don't want to waste it and turn the pick in too early, and you can't get the pictures and all that good stuff. But look, we go through our process, right. And we continue to talk to people, and we talk to we're on the phones, and you got to go through that process. But, man, we're excited to do it, and we're excited to make that pick.
What does that time feel like to you? Because I'll tell you what it felt like for us. It felt like it took forever. Like, when they made the pick at 14, and the Falcons are on the clock, and we know Jalen Walker is there, and you understand all the, you know, the ties and all of that kind of stuff. That 10 minutes took 10 years. How long did it take for you?
Well, it does. It feels like forever. But you've gone through so much. You've gone through these guys. You've been through these guys ad nauseum. We've had so many conversations about them and about. So it does seem like a long time kind of when you're going right there, but it's an excitement. You know, I wouldn't say it's a nervousness or anything like that. It's an excitement about that. But you still got to be professional and go through the process and all that stuff. And but we were excited to turn that card in.
Could you tell us about the process with James Pierce Jr. leading up to the draft?
Yeah.
Because we were talking yesterday before the show, and obviously we give like, well, at 15, he picked a player, I picked a player. He picked the Georgia player, I picked James Pierce at the 15th spot. And then all of a sudden, you take Jalen. And then what is your process of going back to get him? Because
so say it again, you picked James?
Yes, I said James at 15.
Got it.
Yeah. And
got
so
it.
I was curious about the week leading up to picking him. Would he
– yeah.
If Jalen wasn't there, would he have been the pick there?
Yeah.
And then once you – do take Jalen, how did you think about getting back in to get James?
Good question. And that kind of goes back to what you were talking about earlier. You look at kind of worst-case scenario, and you work through that. So that's a really good scenario that they're both there. And then so you look at it, and really in your mind, you want to get both players, you know. And so, okay, but we're going to take Jalen right here, but then how are we going to get back in here to get James Pierce? And we had already had a lot of conversations leading up to it with the teams below, and we knew some teams later in the lower 20s might want to trade out, but then we got really aggressive. We got on those phones, and we said, let's figure out a way to get back in here and get him, and that was a dream scenario to get both those players.
Falcons general manager Terry Fontenot joining us here live in Flowery Branch after the first round last night where the team took two players, a third-round draft pick tonight as well. As it stands right now, who knows?
Yeah. Yep.
Terry Fontenot more aggressive than we realized leading into this draft. You told us that earlier this week. You had the chart and
yeah.
You ranked where you ranked, and we found out last night. Let me ask you this because, I mean, look, pass rush has been a need for this team for a while. What was the biggest influence for you guys that led to addressing it at the level that you addressed it last night?
Yeah, well, if you don't know if you're going to have that opportunity to do that. But you can never have too many pass rushers. And if you hear our defensive coaches and Jeff Ulbrich talk about what we're going to do here and the way we're going to rotate, and you want guys out there emptying the tank, so guys aren't going to be playing 100% of the snaps or 80% of the snaps. We want to rotate guys in, and so we want guys coming off the bench fresh and just hunting the quarterback. And so as many of those guys as you can get, you can't have too many pass rushers, whether we're talking about edge guys, interior guys, and to have guys that are different flavors like that, with Jalen being a guy that can move around and do so many different things. And then, again, Pierce coming off the edge with the violence and the way he does and that edge speed. So there are different types of flavors, and you add them in with the guys we have, and we're just rotating. So you can't have too many of those guys. And, look, we'll see where we are in the third round and what's there. Usually at that position, these pressure players, particularly defensive ends and edge, they come off early. And you're not getting them in those other rounds. Like in the third and fourth round, you can hit on some other positions, but just looking at the hit rate overall, those pressure players, particularly edge guys, you got to get them early. And so that's why we're aggressive.
I had a question because we were talking, and curious, when you draft a player and he does not play that year, hurt or whatever, we're talking about Blake Trice, do you view him as maybe a third-round pick this year also?
Yeah, that's a great question, because we have a lot of guys like that, whether we're talking about Braylon Trice, even guys like that didn't play as much as we thought they could, like a JD or Rook, you know, Brandon Dorless, a lot of those guys that had some little injuries and knickknacks, those guys are developing really well. So we're excited about them moving forward. Guys develop at different levels,
yes.
You know, and there's just different situations. Some guys it pops in year two, some guys year three, some guys right away, they develop at different levels, but we're excited about all those guys.
How do you weigh the cost of getting back into the first round last night? Obviously giving up the second tonight, first rounder next year. I mean, clearly James Pierce is a guy that you guys value highly, but when you're in the process of making that decision to do that, like, what are some of the factors that play into making that choice?
Yeah, good question. And really, if you look at it in a nutshell, what we did is we used next year's first round pick this year, right? So we used next year's first round pick this year, and we moved from the second to the third. That's what we really paid. So what it comes down to is, how do you feel about the player? Who's the player? If we do that for a player that doesn't pan out to what we expect, it was a bad trade. But the conviction that we had on James Pierce and what he's going to be for us, it's not even close. And essentially, like I said, we're just picking a first pick this year. And so the conviction that we had, then we're really excited about doing it. And that's how we're going to judge. We're not going to judge the trade based off of points and who on this chart or that chart. We're not judging off that. We're judging off who he becomes.
Right.
So if he becomes a really good pass rusher for us, who we believe that he's going to become, then it was a hell of a trade.
Was defense a mandatory thing? Because we go back all the way to the combine. Like, the whole defensive staff was up there. Some people were like, well, maybe they're selling wolf tickets or something. It seemed like Andy was saying, we always ask for pass rush. And it was a receiver, which is trying to be a great pick. A running back, this, offensive lineman. But now you went – was it like one of those things when you were going to the combine – right after the Senior Bowl or whatever, did you sit up there and talk to your staff and then talk to Ra, have the conversation with Ra? We need as many good defensive players, impactful as we can right now.
Yeah, Randy, that was a little bit overblown. We did have some offensive coaches there too. You know, it kind of got reported and it just kind of took off.
Right.
You know, but
what are you saying? We sensationalize things sometimes. All right.
But honestly, we looked at it like we got to get impact players, and so we weren't gonna if just another defensive end that we didn't have that level of belief in, we weren't just gonna take any defensive end or any pressure players. But those particular players truly were the top guys on our board in terms of the impact that they can have for us, you know. So we do have to stay disciplined in that way and bring in impact players and not reach. And so if a lot more defensive players went off than we expected and we didn't really feel good about what was there and couldn't trade out, we got to take the best player on the board.
Right.
And that might not have been a defensive player. That's just the truth. Now, it worked out exactly how we wanted to, so we're excited.
We've talked about the phrase character issues today. Yep. I think it's an unfair phrase because it's so broad and it can apply to so many different things. But it's a phrase that people have used when talking about James Pierce.
Yep.
As you're getting ready to draft someone and obviously looking into everything they are on the field and off the field, how important is it what you're bringing them into, what your organization is, and how much of a difference can that make in terms of your comfortability with a guy?
Yeah, great point. And you know, character issues, when sometimes things will get reported, and the tough thing is people don't always know the amount of intel that we know,
right?
What we know. There are some players that have serious character concerns that no one knows about. There's the same thing with medical. Some guys have bad medical stuff people don't even know about. Same thing with character. So we have a really good scouting staff that gathers all the information. They do a really good job, and they really pound the pavement in that way. And then we are extremely thorough with how much time we spend with the players, the people that surround the players. So we make sure we know exactly what we're bringing to this building. But to your point, that is important to know your building, your culture, your coaches, who's going to be coaching the players. Okay, Jock. Okay, is Jock the right fit? Okay, what's our player engagement, and how do they help? Because we believe it's our job to not only maximize players on the football field, but also off the football field. Let's make them better men. Let's help them grow and mature. That's all of our jobs in here. We're all resources for the players. And so we want to make sure that we have the right culture to help all of our players grow and mature. So, but we spend as much time as we can gathering all the intel to know if that's a right fit for us or not. We want guys that are passionate and love ball, and they love playing ball, and they love to compete. And then if there's some things that we need to help them with, then we're going to help them with. But the things that are non-negotiable, you better love ball and love to go out there and compete and be about winning championships. And we believe the players we brought in yesterday are.
Traded a pick for James Pierce. Or is there any more in the dealings as far as trades, specifically a player that's on the team or somebody that, you know, you know, is that – I know you're not going to tell it. Terry, we have interviewed you too many times to know that you ain't going to give
it. No, I got where you're going.
But is there
– look.
What's going on with Kirk, all right? Where's Kirk at right now?
And look, basically, just like we've said the entire time, that if the right thing comes around and if there's an offer for any player on our roster that makes sense, do it. But it's going to be about this football team, this organization, doing everything we can do to help this organization be better. And so we're always open to all those things. We communicate with the other 31 teams constantly and work through things. I'm sorry, guys. I got my phone on.
Who is that?
I'll
show it to you.
Look and see what the notification says.
You see who that is?
Good
you can't. Don't say it out loud.
I won't.
You know who that is?
I do.
You know what team he's from?
I do.
Okay. Yeah. Don't say it out loud.
I won't. All right. Thank you for showing me that. Look at that.
And that was off the record, so when I leave, don't start talking about it.
I'm not even going to tell Randy about that.
Hold on, man.
It was his wife.
Oh.
It wasn't. It was the GM, no, but he's not going to share it.
It wasn't. We saw Jeff Ulbricht almost tackle you last night on television in that room you were talking about. Maybe he's the answer to this. Maybe he's not. Who was the happiest person on staff last night after the first round was over?
Man, everybody. That's the cool thing about both of these players that we brought in, because we do have a lot of layers of information. We have our scouts and everything they go through. We have our coaching staff. We have our analytics department. We have really our player performance, everyone in the building. They all spend so much time going through this process, and I'll say that everybody was excited. Everybody. 1,000%, because it's not always like that, and that's just the truth. It's not always like that, because we're not trying to build consensus and just have groupthink and bring – no, we're trying to get all the information and make the right decision for the Atlanta Falcons. But in this case, with both these players, I would say everybody was excited. Yeah, Brick was – he even sent me a text at like 2 in the morning. He was going to sleep and about how excited he was. That's probably why I couldn't sleep because I keep getting these texts. So, but, yeah, I would say the entire building's pumped up right now. And, look, we got more work to do.
Right.
We got the third-round pick today, and then tomorrow we got a couple picks. And then that eighth round is real. After the draft, there's going to be a lot of good players, and we got to be aggressive, and we got to make sure we bring in some good players because every year you look at undrafted free agency, and there's going to be some good players that come out of it.
Yeah.
And so we got to make sure we find those guys and get them to Atlanta.
Did you send a jet for Jalen? Because I saw the phone call. Did you send a jet, a chopper, or something down the salt there?
We did. We put them both on. Actually, they land here in a little bit.
Okay.
But we were able to put them both on there in Charlotte.
We appreciate it, as always.
Awesome.
Thank you very much.
Appreciate y'all.
That's Falcon. Has your opinion changed, if it had changed at all, on Terry Fontenot? You know, going into this draft, we all said, at least this show, there is a lot of pressure on him to deliver. First round, I think he did. And I don't know if your opinion has changed as the direction of this football team looks like it has changed. We're going to come back. We'll talk about it, Mike, as we continue to talk about the first round. James Pierce, Jalen Walker set to join us in the 4 o'clock hour here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It is Dukes and Bell. Hope you're having a great day. It's Friday. We're hanging out at the Branch. Man, it's been a long night, but a fun night for Falcon fans. And Mike and I have been chopping it up all day with you. 404-726-0929. And by the way, find us on social media. He's Mike Bell, ATL. I'm at Put 'Em Up, C Dukes. And, of course, the radio show, Dukes and Bell 929. Follow this radio station at 929 The Game. Mike, I don't know. And, look, it may be too premature, but I do think that after last night, would you say that Terry's back in the good graces of most Falcon fans?
Well, he's back in my good graces, certainly today. I mean, now again, yes, I get it. There's a risk in everything. There's a risk in Pierce. There's a risk if you just, you stand pat and you hope you hit in the second round. This was being proactive. They obviously identified Pierce as their guy. Now, I will say this. If there is an indictment of our general manager, it is a degree of tunnel vision. If he locks on a guy, he locks on a guy.
Yes.
You know, and again, if Penix was, and Wes had a very convenient argument, although I disagree with it, if Penix went this year, he'd be the first year. Okay, great. Still doesn't validate the stupidity of having Cousins and him at the same time. But that said, he definitely wanted to go get Pierce. And we're going to talk to James Pierce Jr. coming up later in the 4 o'clock hour. But okay, so you go and you make the move. If this guy pans out and we are back in the business, Carl, if we're leading, imagine we're top 5 in sacks.
Be great.
Could you imagine that?
It'd be great.
Having lived there since 16, you're right. And even then, it wasn't a great defense. So yeah. I'm cool with it. I get it. It took me a while because I had tunnel vision on Mike Green. That's why it just took me about a day to get it around.
And look, again, we can debate, the skill level. Abe and I were talking about this, and Abe was convinced, as he's hanging out with us today here, helping us produce up here at the Branch, about, it all depends on the board, and it does. I mean, example is last year. But you can't say, like last year, well, it all depends on the board because the Falcons had him as their best quarterback. And then this year, dismiss the fact that Mike Green was on everybody's board, but yet nobody took him in the first round, which makes us obviously say whatever concerns all teams had pushed him to the second round. But I'm telling you guys, somebody's going to take him today. And, Mike, for the Falcons, the risk wasn't worth the reward. So they said, look, we'll take somebody else. That we think very highly of, and I don't even know if he was on their board or not. Again, maybe the red flags kept him off their board completely.
Well, again, they got underneath James Pierce Jr.'s fingernails, like teams do. They got all the way back to junior high school football. I mean, they got all the way back to, the family, the way they basically did the same thing with Bijan, although, I mean, they kind of, I think Bijan sells himself, pre-draft a couple years ago. But, look, they did their due diligence. Here's the guy. So, as we said, guys, you had your guy, I had my guy. Now we're going to see if they're even more aggressive today, or it's just simply going to be chalk, and we'll have to wait till the third round for our pick. Or, maybe one more big move in us, and that might be, moving on from Onyemata, creating some cap space, and going for Jalen Ramsey, which I'm not sold on that necessarily, but it would still be an upgrade over Hughes.
No.
And then Hughes slides to the nickel, and all of a sudden, a weakness is a strength.
That's what you want to do. You want to turn what weaknesses we have had into strengths. When you're talking about our team being 31st in sacks last year, we're last in the league. This is the thing, guys. When you go, if you're new to Atlanta or you're going, man, why is everybody in such a fuss about these pass rushers? Mm-hmm. Last in the league the last 10 years in sacks. That puts it in perspective. It's not just about last year. This has been an ongoing saga for our football team.
So when the GM and the front office finally address it, and Mike, we've been saying this, you got to go get it off the tree. That's our analogy, guys, for drafting a guy. You can go bring in a 32-year-old player with the success coming off of an injury. Yes, we hoped it would work, but it didn't. But you go get it off the tree. You go draft a guy or two, and you say, these are young guys, as I've been saying, we can grow with.
Right.
Jalen Walker and James Pierce Jr. turn into the players, Mike, that we think they're going to be, over the next decade, these are guys we're going to fall in love with, and they become our guys.
Right. So, again, guys, Todd McShay literally goes, holy blank, on his live podcast as things went down, and we move up. And the way you look at it is, yeah, there was always going to be an inherent risk. And you look at the Rams, and, you know, yes, blank those picks, I said to Carl in the 2 o'clock, are only works if we're living in the NFC playoffs. Well, with an offense with the weapons we've got, and this, if these guys hit and Ruka Roro hits, then we will be living in the NFC playoffs for some time to come.
No doubt about it. All right, I want you to hear a couple of things. As I said, maybe you felt a certain kind of way about Terry. Maybe you have been. But it's drafts like this that make you go, wow, okay, you know what, if in fact this works. Boy, I mean, he's on the right track. This is what our head coach, Raheem Morris, had to say about Terry Fontenot.
When you talk about it, Terry did such a great job of having the ability to go over our profiles and what we're looking for. From a rush standpoint, from an edge standpoint, from creating some havoc on the passer. We got a chance to go over some of those profiles and be able to talk to those different things with different coaches that we got in the building. And I really believe the scouts and Terry and his group all really sat down and put together a great list for us to go out there and evaluate. And couldn't be more pleased with the, you know, obviously the class and what was available to us. And to be able to go out there and get that thing accomplished like that, I can't say enough positive things about us.
Now, Terry won't admit it publicly, but I'm going to say, mm-hmm. Mike, that they had no intention of taking offense. Zero.
No. No, and that's good. And like, and I, by the way, I was – some because Mike, you were just trolling us with this offensive tackle. Well, I mean, just based on, you know –
Well, there is a small percentage.
Right. And look, if you go back and you look at Penix, Penix has more mobility than Cousins, obviously. And how did they look at the film? I did a deep dive on Caleb McGarry, but obviously, you know, Caleb McGarry didn't hurt us in the game against the Commanders. You know, there was certainly the Giants. It was more Pitts with a bad deflection that created a turnover.
Wasn't it McGarry – help me if I'm incorrect here – that gave up the sack in the Saints
game?
Yeah,
he trips on Lindstrom. Lindstrom and him kind of lock ankles, okay. And so he falls down. But he also got beat on his own in that game, which didn't help Kirk Cousins hitting the turf. But, yeah, but McGarry did contribute, if you want, to that that injury to Kirk, which got him off the field.
Yeah, that look, do I think – and this is the point that I always say as we start camp, because I know everybody, you know, talks about where we lack and where we should be adding players. You just – guys, you're not going to be great everywhere. You're just not. And you hope that the players, the great players you have, pick up the slack. I think, unfortunately, Mike, I'm with you. Do I wish we could upgrade in that area? Yes. I don't think they're going to, because their focus has been so much about how to improve this defense. And then you spent the last four drafts on offense. They just – and we don't have the money to go get an upgrade at that position.
And to be honest, the one thing – I mean, when I was killing Terry over the Cousins and Penix both, I wanted Penix one or the other. But the one thing I give him credit, I always give him credit for, having good offensive line depth. That's something we didn't have under Dan Quinn. That was something we didn't have in those years. We just really struggled in the trenches having guys who could – you lose – remember one time we had three guys go out?
Oh, yeah.
And we didn't miss a beat. But we can handle that. So they may find some more – again, undrafted free agents, man. Jesse Tuggle, John Randall, a lot of dudes, you know, we talked about it the other day.
Yes.
Cowboys made a history of getting studs that were undrafted free agents, and we may do the same.
Let's hear Rod talk about the versatility of Jalen Walker. He's set to join us coming up next hour. Guys, stay tuned. Also, James Pierce is going to come on with us live here at Flowery Branch. This is Coach Rod.
You know, being able to come off the edge, being able to move around, he's very self-aware. If you ever talk to this young man, he'll kind of tell you what he thinks he is. And he's 30% off the edge. He's 30% blitzing through a gap. He can do some different things in the back end. He can drop. He can do all kinds of different things. So, like, he's definitely a threat, and he's definitely provides a threat for us that would allow us to utilize him in the most captivating ways. And like, we got a lot of coaches up there that are just gunning to use him and gunning to find different ways to get it done. And I just can't say enough good things about him.
Mike, we've used that term Swiss Army knife.
Right, right.
And in many cases, we have said, do you want a guy that does one thing really well? Which Pierce does. He just comes off the edge. That's what he does.
See quarterback, get quarterback.
Yes, it's easy. For Jalen, he does a lot of different things well, and that's why you hear Ross say we can use him in so many ways. That's what Kirby and company did at Georgia. And, you know, look, This hour is brought to you by our friends at Mark's Main Real Estate. Get a guaranteed offer on your home today and start packing. It's Dukes and Bell. Guys, we are live at Flowery Branch. We've been here all afternoon. Andy and Randy were here. They had a great conversation with the general manager, Terry Fontenot. Go check it out at odyssey.com. And we are going to have a great conversation with both of our first-round picks, Jalen Walker and James Pierce. They are on the way this hour. Do not go anywhere. And also, Mike, a little bit later on, as we've been talking about, you know, these guys, we'll continue to break down the draft. Lots of storylines last night, man. By the way, did this draft, the first round, fly by, though?
Yes, because my wife's like, I don't think I'm going to stay up. And we made it. I said about quarter, it looked like quarter to 10. And that was way early for many of us. And it was funny because the guys get done with the broadcast last night with Wes Drewham and Arch and Mike Conti. And then, of course, we trade back in the first round. So fell right into Turtle's lap. Chris was on the air last night. Of course, phones are going bananas. We find out we're grabbing James Pierce Jr. Yeah, the Shador thing. And now, of course, everyone's waiting to see that somebody's this cannot continue to go on, this boycott of Shador. I know you were passionate about it, talking with Brian McFadden. I think he's paying for the sins of his dad with some of these people in the personnel departments, but we'll find out. I mean, and again, the great debate, and it'll be fun to match stats and how Jackson Dart does with the Giants and how Shador Sanders does wherever he winds up.
Yeah, no doubt.
And by the way, Clay Matthews, I'm like, what is he doing? What's he doing last night when he gets off? He goes, I've got a message from the president. We're like, oh, God. Everybody was like, where is this going? And then basically just famously trolling the Bears. Because anybody who's ever been to Lambeau, if you ever driven from Chicago, you get north of the Fox River, everything kind of goes from Bear flags to Packer flags. Obviously, the hatred is real.
It is. No, listen.
That was funny, but it was a little weird at first.
Well, it was weird because ESPN and the commission was like, hold on. wait a minute.
How tight were the sphincters in the control rooms?
Time out, man. Don't do this on our draft. But ultimately, you know what? It's all in fun, and I loved it because the fan base got it, and it was great. Speaking of fan bases, what's going on with you, man?
Yeah, I just want to address something, Carl, a phenomenon I've been seeing here on social media, talking to some of the dudes. Now, last night, we already discussed it. I was in for Mike Green, so I was surprised. And when they moved back into the 26th pick, I thought, okay, we're going for Malachi Starks.
Okay.
That's what I thought. And then it was like, oh, okay, we're going with Pierce. And so it took me, and I talked about it last night, and I explained the logic behind the moves, and I was wrapping my head around it. And then today, I talked more, saw more analysis about it, and I'm down with it. Because I'm not going to spend, like I did last year, 200 days of our show bellyaching about something like Kirk Cousins and Penix both being here. It's happened. We got to turn the page and let's go. You know, we're glad we got Penix. I'll never understand what that was. But I'm not going to be sitting here and just going, oh, well, this makes no. Here we are. Either Pierce is going to pan out or he doesn't. Time will tell. We're not going to know in preseason. We're not going to know after minicamp. We're going to have to wait and see if this guy can get on the board and be what Ebba Cady wasn't in the second round. Can he go get double-digit sacks? What is a realistic expectation? We're going to find out from Ra about that. But, I mean, all I'm saying is I'm down with it. I get the logic behind it. I just had a different guy that I earmarked. So if it works, no risk it, no biscuit. If it doesn't, we can say, okay, it didn't pan out. But, again, I'm just not going to spend all year bellyaching about it, okay?
I love it. Here's the other part of this, by the way, and we're going to talk about the other dogs that went in this draft, at least in the first round, and a couple of the storylines that happened. But to your point, Mike, like, part of the Mike Green thing, and this is not just the Falcons, you see it. This is across the first round. If I can get Mike Green, and somebody's going to get a really good player, by the way, okay? But if I can get him in the second round, it's better value. And, Mike, if the red flags were such that teams wanted to stay away, and that is the case, then these kinds of things happen. But at the end of the day, I'm worried about the guys that we have. And the guys that we have right now, I want to see James Pierce and what he develops into.
Right.
Listen, James Pierce had issues allegedly as well. Were they as severe as I said to start the show? There are levels to this. You know, if you're talking about a traffic ticket versus alleged assault or rape, those are two different things.
Right.
So, you know, and again, I'm throwing that out there as an example. I'm not saying those things actually happen. But whatever those red flags were and the Falcons did their due diligence, it wasn't enough for them to say, hey, we're going to stay away from this guy. In fact, they dove in deeper into Pierce because they believe he's the best pass rusher in this draft. So as long as they believe it, like they believe that Michael Penix was the best quarterback last year in this draft, that's all that matters. And then when they get here, if they produce – guys, it won't matter. So I'm glad that you said that because we could spend hours upon hours debating who the best edge rusher is in a class that we discussed for 2 months prior to the draft.
Right.
Now that we've got our guy, how do they affect this football team?
Right. I made the case for Ezeraku. I made the case for Green. We discussed Pierce. I said to Carl earlier, if you missed the earlier part of the program, and again, we're going to have both guys in studio this hour, so don't flipping. I said to Carl, I go, what would my scouting report be? And I'm age 56, you know? Okay, anger issues, disciplinary problems, multiple arrests. You know what I mean? This is he's a loose cannon. So, I mean, high risk, high reward, I guess, would be my scouting report as a human being. So I'm not going to sweat it. You know, if somebody gets hung up on Pierce having an expired tag, that's baby spit compared to some of the things that have happened in Athens, if we're honest. So, I mean, it's all relative. And as we said, if there's some maturity issues, that's something I think two things. What Ra's got here in the building, that's real. And again, yes, there's some shortcomings which manifested itself as far as game management. But Coach Ra is a guy these guys believe in. He's well respected. So Coach Ra and Ulbrich having a guy like Leonard Floyd, like Leonard Floyd's not here to be Morgan Freeman to somebody. Let me take you, young buck, and show you how to do it. But he will mentor to a degree because he's a guy that's going to just through osmosis, like we saw with Dwight Freeney or with Claiborne. These guys are going to pick up the work habits, right?
Yeah, I agree with you on that. I think. When we talk about the culture, a lot of that has to do with how your head coach handles things. Dan Campbell in Detroit. Look at how guys respond to him. Now, he's lost both of his coordinators, but the reality is dudes love Dan Campbell. They love that energy. Some people think it's corny. Some people think what Rod does is corny. People dig it. These guys dig it.
As long as the players respond, man.
That's all that matters. And so, you know, when we talk about that aspect of it, you're right. A guy like Pierce comes in. You hear Coach on the phone with these guys. Obviously, they have some rapport because they've had a chance to visit with these guys in the lead-up process to the draft. But I think, you know, at the end of the day, you start saying, how good can James Pierce be or Jalen Walker? It's only going to matter, Mike. It's only going to come down to one thing. How well are they coached?
Right.
They get here. They have certain things they do well. But this is not a finished product. They don't come in here, and they're not 10-year vets that have already achieved Hall of Fame status. These guys got to come in and get better, and that's going to get back to the coaching, and we feel better, right? I do feel better about this, and I'll give Brick credit. Brick's called plays. He's been an assistant, a head coach. He's been a head coach interim. Mike, I feel better about his experience than what we had here last year. Even though we were willing to give it a shot, it didn't work. But that experience of Rod not having to put all his energy onto the defensive side now,
right.
Guys, I'm telling you, that was a big deal last year because it became an issue. And so you had the head coach who was trying to go back to his roots and say, all right, here's what we need to do. Ironically, the defense got better, but right. He doesn't have to worry about that now.
No, look, there were some mistakes made last year. Jimmy Legg, unfortunately, was not a good fit. You saw it, and you just touched on it. And, you know, the cornerbacks, you know, they work together, man. We always say the phrase complimentary football. The edges, no pressure. I mean, there was no pressure. Quarterbacks had way too much time. We never set the edge. Judon was a colossal disappointment. Look, we were all signed off on Judon. It is what it is. You know, they risked. Look, and here's the thing. If we go back in the time machine, nobody was against Judon. No one called us and said, oh, I'm not giving up a third rounder for Judon. Everybody was excited. It just didn't work, you know, but you're trying. By the way, you mentioned Georgia Bulldogs. So we got Walker. Now I just did another mock. I got a couple of these because we're just saying who's left.
Who else you getting?
Well, in this case, we got snaked. I couldn't get the big body defensive tackle with the 101st pick, but Jared Wilson was there. From Georgia, the center.
Center, yeah.
And then I picked up Zeke Biggers for Georgia Tech fans with our last pick.
Biggers is nice.
Yeah, and Biggers, you know, I don't know, some guys had him anywhere from 5 to 7 as far as what round he'll go. So you never know. And I got the other Kobe Bryant again. That's a corner.
Yeah, the different Kobe. Right. We picked, by the way, you said to me 101?
Yeah, we got 101, 118, 218 tonight. 101 was part of the trade with the Rams. 118 is our regular pick. We gave up a 7th. So, yeah, 3 picks on the clock unless we move up and mortgage more of next year's future.
All right, coming up.
Or trade somebody.
Either or. That'd be nice. You guys know what we're talking about. Hey, coming up, we are going to hear from Steve Koonin, guys. Hawks CEO is going to stop by, as he normally does. We're pushing him up because, of course, James Pierce and Jalen Walker are going to stop by the show in this hour. Stay there. It's Dukes and Bell live from Flowery Branch. It is Dukes and Bell, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We told you he was coming.
He's coming.
And he's here.
He's on Lombardi time, Carl. He's early.
Hey, man. He played at Georgia. You know, he's got to be early for the meetings, bro.
Right, right.
Jalen Walker is here. First and foremost, man, congratulations, brother. Congrats. We are happy that you're here.
Man, I appreciate it.
As a Falcon,
yes,
last night it was funny because everybody's seen the call now when they called you, and you were like, I'm at the crib.
Yeah.
In Salisbury. What was it like, man? I mean, honestly, just take us through that last night and getting that call. Did you have any idea it was going to be us?
Yeah, I was actually, watching the clock
When I seen the Falcons on the clock, I'm seeing it. And, you know, for the earlier picks, they were like, oh, as soon as that pick happened, like as soon as the next pick, the pick was in. And then I was looking and saw the clock winding down. It was like 3 minutes left. I'm like, man, what's going on, man? And look down again, and my phone's ringing. And I'm like, man, there we go. Like, here we go. Let's go. So it was just a great opportunity.
Man, as we said, not to sound like little kids, man, we sound like fanboys already, Carl. We were so excited because, number one, we wanted the Bulldogs. We wanted somebody from Kirby's machine, what he's developed. Talk about what you learned at UGA.
Man, I learned a lot. You know, being there for those 3 years, you develop as a player and as a young man as well. And those guys and that program there, they're running it really well, and I appreciate all they did.
So one of the things I've talked about with you, specifically leading up to the draft, Jalen, is I said, man, his size, I don't know. And then everybody I'm talking to around the league and everybody that scouted you is like, it don't matter. And then you look, he's shaking his head. And then you turn on the tape, right, and you're taking on these big tackles. You're holding guys off. You're setting the edge. But is this something that you always seemingly hear, or is this something that you know, when we talk about, oh, he's not the prototypical this, that, or the other, but you're a playmaker.
Most definitely. And I hear it, but, you know, I really – it goes in and out the other year because I know the player and what I have in me, that dog. So it is what it is.
We know a lot of guys, and we always hear the phrase coach's son, you know, and your dad coach. I mean, it just seems like, I don't know, when I played Little League, my dad was really mean to me. He liked the other kids better. How much of a factor was what your dad taught you coming on up?
Right. My dad was actually – he was a college coach, so I really didn't get into his realm. But him being – there for me, he was actually a dad first before he was a coach, so I appreciate that and everything he did for me.
Yeah, it's a part of your story as we're talking with Jalen Walker. Last night, our first pick in the first round, 15th overall, guys, here at the Branch today. It's Dukes and Bell. As we talk about your relationship with Ra and certainly Terry Fontenot, Terry has said at your pro day, y'all spoke like, you know, you were sitting there for an hour or so.
Right.
What were the conversations? Was he just talking about life? Was he talking football with you?
Man, we were talking about life, catching up, football, everything. I mean, it was a great opportunity to just pick his brain because he's smart as it comes. Sitting there and getting to know him, and I met his son as well. You know, being there with him and talking with him right there in the indoor was great. You know, just getting able to pick his brain.
What was that combine experience like? Because we hear about the interviews and you feel like a piece of meat in there. How strange was that?
It wasn't as strange as people made it seem. It was just about meetings and football. I enjoyed it because you're sitting there talking about football all day, and it was easy for me.
You like breaking down film?
Yeah. It was really good, you know, watching my plays and watching what happened in the season. I can recall what was going on. It was great.
Yeah, well, I don't want to talk about that Texas game, but I guess we have to. you dominated that offensive line, man. Y'all did a hell of a job in Austin, and obviously in the SEC championship game. And then, you know, last night I'm watching the draft, and I see the New Orleans Saints take Calvin Banks. Stop it. And I'm like, oh. Banks is going to the Saints.
Well, this is very fortuitous.
Yes, and then I see, oh, we get Jalen Walker, and Jalen had his day against Banks. Man, talk about those games, because those were big games for you guys this year. But, you know, everybody going into those games are saying, oh, they're offensive line, and I was laughing after the game because Kirby's like, what? You guys got after it.
Right. Yeah, we just had a great game plan for the week, and, you know, we executed well. We knew where Quinn wanted to escape. We knew what the pros were to certain tackles and guards. We knew the cons to those tackles and those guards, and we just used it to our advantage.
That game was something. We could talk about that game because it was like, man, you guys get them off the field, and you're back on the field. So you had to do it. Obviously, a little bit different when you had it at your house. By the way, we get a guy going to that Falcons locker room who knows his way around Mercedes-Benz. It's like a home away from home for you.
We call it our home, our home stadium. Being there at Georgia, it's great being in the Benz. It's a different environment. It's just a different feeling that I get going into the game.
Did Arthur send Falcon 1 to pick you up? Did you get the plane?
I did get the jet.
My man.
They sent the jet.
Yeah, because we heard you like, send it.
Send it. Hey, I told him to send it, and they sent it. Man, it was crazy. Yeah, he's got it going on with that jet.
It's crazy, right?
Yeah, it's a little 17-seater.
Shrimp cocktail?
Nah, get some good food, snacks, anything you need it. So it was pretty good.
Jalen Walker joining us here on Dukes and Bell. Guys, we're chopping it up with our first round pick. Look, you maybe feel it. I hope you do. But the excitement is real, bro, about you guys getting picked, talking about James as well, and then, you know, what we feel like our team has lacked. You feel any pressure? And I say this because you played at Georgia, but coming here and saying, hey, I'm not going to say you're a savior, but people feel like, oh, you're going to help us go to the next level. Right. Do you feel that?
I feel no pressure. I just feel like it's another day and it's another opportunity for me to come in and, you know, and keep playing football and support the locker room and support the program.
We always hear guys when they ask the question, hey, would you like to be a Falcon? Or, I'm just happy to be in the league. Was the Falcons on a short list because of the proximity playing at Athens?
Man, I had no choice of team. It didn't matter. It was just the opportunity. If anybody had called that phone, I would have picked up and I would have been excited for anybody.
We've talked about Coach Raheem Morris and having a tremendous rep around the league. What do you know about him and what do you think so far?
I love that guy. I love that guy. The meetings that we had prior, it was great. His energy that he brings, his vision that he brings, his work ethic that he wants to bring, and all his morals that he wants to do for the program is great. And, of course, my relationship with him is great, and we got to celebrate that today with him, and I'm glad I'm here.
We're glad you're here. Former teammates, current teammates were all commenting on social media.
Right.
Like, dude, really? Jalen dropped a fit. Like, were you surprised at how this thing played out last night? As you watched, did you feel like you feel slighted at all that you didn't go earlier? Like, how does that go for you?
Yeah. Like I was saying earlier, it's a great opportunity for me to be here, but, you know, there's no discredit for all the people that got picked in front of me because those are tremendous athletes as well, and I played against them, and I played we'll play against them in the future as well, you know, and much power to those teams that picked their players and their program decided to go another way, but I'm glad we made the right decision here in Atlanta to bring me in.
Hey guys, Jalen Walker's with us live inside the Ticketmaster Studios, Dukes and Bell. We're going to talk to James Pierce Jr. coming up later this hour. Speaking of big edge rushers, you talked to Mykal Williams?
I did. Yeah, I just talked to him maybe about 5 minutes ago. I sent him a text. He's in San Francisco right now.
Wow. Same thing, just juiced.
Man, juice, man. He's excited. He was telling me about it last night.
We talk about, you know, your journey. We talk your dad being a coach, and everyone just kind of takes it for granted. Everybody who's listening right now, their dream would be where you were last night, getting that phone call. Talk about the journey, the hard work, all the things you did to get there.
Long time coming. Full of hard work. Me and my dad talk about it all the time. You got to work. Somebody got to work. You got to work hard doing it. You know, being at Georgia, my time there, you have to work hard to succeed in life.
Is that why you chose Georgia? Because you knew what was coming with Kirby?
Chose hard. Coach Smart says choose hard. If you want to come to University of Georgia, you choose hard. And once you do it, you're going to be successful because you see the program and you see the history that they have with draft picks and just players in general.
Yeah. And it's funny because – you know, people would say, you guys get to the pros and y'all don't know about walkthroughs. Because everything's full speed.
Right.
Walkthrough, what is that?
Yeah, I've heard those stories. The guys like, hey, man, like, relax. Relax. I'm like, hey, you're not at Georgia anymore. But, I mean, I enjoy it. It's just what I'm so used to.
Sure.
You know,
right.
It's just in me. And that's going to be – that's anybody else who's at Georgia as well.
Yeah, the practices, you know, sometimes we're harder than the games, right? I mean,
100% time.
Yeah,
most definitely. We practice hard just so when we get to that game, it's not what you think it is. It's going to be a lot easier and it's going to be a lot smoother than you think.
Let me ask you this real quick, because I know you have a relationship with Micah Parsons. Both of you guys, Adidas, right? Is
correct.
That right? Big shout out to David Mulligata too, UT. Got to do it, bro. Got to do it. But that's the agent for these guys.
Man, I want to shout out Trey Smith. UGA.
No doubt. No doubt.
UGA.
No
there
doubt.
You go.
Good
yes,
call.
Sir.
But I want to ask you about that relationship with Micah, because what kind of effect has he had on you?
Right.
And if I said to you, Jalen, we're talking to you in 3 years, does your game resemble, you know, what Micah does on the field? Do you feel like that's the kind of player you can be? I'm not saying you're Micah, but obviously the things that he does.
Most definitely. I feel like Micah has a motor like myself, and he's a baller. And he's a guy that I take pieces from his game to apply to mine. And I appreciate him just being that older brother and that mentor for me.
One of the things we talked about with Jalen is the leadership thing. And it's not like you come here to the Falcons. You come in here on the first day of OTAs. There's a new sheriff in town. His name is Jalen Walker.
Right.
Leadership is earned. But it's a role that you did embrace at Georgia.
Yes, it's all about respect and the opportunity, you know, getting into the locker room and getting to learn these guys and getting to know these guys. That's how it starts. It's about the relationship. And once you build that relationship, you build trust. And after you build the trust, you build that mutual respect of being that leader.
Jalen, we're excited, man.
Man, I appreciate it.
Rise up.
Rise up. Appreciate y'all.
Thanks for stopping by.
Most definitely.
The Dirty Bird's got a dog, Joe.
We'll see you at OTAs and all that. Thank you so much, Jalen.
Appreciate y'all.
All right, guys, we got to take a quick break. We're coming back. We're going to talk to James Pierce as well. That is Jalen Walker here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It's Dukes and Bell, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Thanks to Jalen Walker for stopping by. James Pierce is on the way. We told you we were going to talk to these guys, and we are. This hour is brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Get a guaranteed offer on your home today and start packing. Got to tell you, as we react to some of the things Jalen said, this is just impressions, guys. First of all, that man's got a hell of a handshake, okay? First thing. And my dad always said, look a man in the face, shake his hand. He did it broke mine, okay? And I'm not a small guy. I was like, okay, you can let go, Jalen.
Right.
Second thing is, Mike, all business. And you hear it in his personality. And for dog fans, again, you know, this is the thing about college football. And Kirby, you know, he makes guys available. And they rotate sometimes guys. But Kirby will be the first one to tell you about what this kid meant to the program and how important he was from a leadership standpoint. You guys hear it? Did you hear it?
Right.
Like, he is all business and all about, like, locker room, teammates, making sure, like, hey, we're on the same page. I get it, Mike. And Mike said to me as soon as he walked out of the room, he's like, impressive. We can tell you. We've interviewed a lot of dudes.
Right.
Not everybody leaves the room and we look at each other and go, impressive. He is an impressive dude just from that standpoint. Forget about the tape and the play.
Right.
That is the thing, man, that we sense from him. It's Dukes and Bell Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We're going to get a chance to talk to our man James Pierce coming up here.
He's already in character.
As the Falcons went back into the first round last night and got Pierce out of Tennessee.
Mm-hmm.
And he's making his way into the room. What's up, bro? Good to see you, man. As he's getting ready to sit down here.
Right on.
We're talking to all these guys, man, because the draft is the best and funnest thing as far as, you know, how your team improves. And can you hear us, brother? You good?
Yeah, I'm good.
All right.
Man, welcome. First of all, James Pierce, thank you for being here. Congratulations, man.
Yes, sir. Thank you. I'm happy to be here.
Well, we're happy that you're here. I know a lot of people were surprised that we went back in and pulled you out. I asked Jalen this question. Did you have any idea it was going to be us that was going to draft you last night?
I low-key hoped for it. Just a little bit. A
little bit?
Because we heard they put the work in with you. So, I mean, did you feel, because did it, as a player, do you feel the Falcons had more interest in you than other teams?
I feel like that we got to know each other and we got to communicate back and forth. So, a little bit more than other teams.
Okay.
6'5", 250-ish, Mike. You know, talk about SEC, first and quarterback pressures. Talk about your pass rush, man, because, you know, you played at Tennessee, obviously, being in the South, SEC, Atlanta being the home. We see a lot of SEC games and pay attention to all these things. But talk about you being a pass rusher, because it's something we've desperately needed, and how you, you know, have developed over the last few years and certainly the success you had at Tennessee.
I set up everything off speed, just naturally being a pass rusher. And then after that, it just come with learning and how you can use the hands and stuff like that, so.
Is that something you feel you got to work on a little bit, technique-wise?
I said it before. As long as I'm playing the game of football in the National Football League, I don't feel like you should ever stop working on your hands. So as long as I'm playing, I'll always try to get better at that and perfect that.
We got Coach Ra. And we got the word last night that your defensive coordinator couldn't sleep at all last night. He's so excited.
Yeah, I need to go see him.
So, but, I mean, it is pretty cool, though, and the idea of coming here in Atlanta, Mercedes-Benz, the juice. This is a team that I don't know if you picked up on the buzz, but there's a lot of energy, man. People are really excited about the aggressiveness to go get you in the first round of the moves we made last night.
Yeah.
So how you feeling, man? You excited?
Yeah, I'm excited. I'm excited for it. And, it means a lot to me that they was able to do that, and they did that, and they believe in my game and what I can bring to this team. So,
James, we heard, I think it was our general manager, Terry Fontenot, say, is Miss Kizzy there when he talked to you on the phone?
Uh-huh.
And I'm just curious, so tell us about your mom, man, and, you know, her impact in your life, because they were talking about meeting the people around you and how important that was for the organization to kind of get a sense of who you were.
Yeah, it's more so that my mom more so laid back like me and just let me do my own thing a little bit. So they probably was like, where is it coming from? You know what I'm saying? So they probably wanted to meet the person who produced the guy like this. So
What was mom saying last night, man? She was happy.
She was happy, especially when she seen the 404. She was super happy.
Right. Yeah. We talked about it with Jalen. It's like every kid wants to be in the NBA or the NFL. Mm-hmm. But like last night, did you just catch yourself in the moment? Like, this is really happening?
Oh yeah. Even walking into the facility today, when I got my jersey, my agent asked to hold it. I really didn't want him to let him hold it, but yeah.
You raised in and around Charlotte. You played hoops too, didn't you? Didn't you play some basketball?
Well, yeah, I started late though. In high school, I started playing basketball in high school. I've been playing football since I was six, though. So.
Okay, because I was wondering if the basketball helped you. We hear guys say that, you know, sometimes playing hoops it helps. You a big hoops fan?
Yeah, my girl playing basketball.
Yeah, she's in the WNBA, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Do you have a favorite team you watch as far as the NBA is concerned, or not really?
The NBA?
Yeah.
No.
Okay. All right. Just out of curiosity.
Because we could actually use kind of a small forward with the Hawks. I don't want to put too much on your plate. I'm just saying, if you want to, you know, be pretty good at, you know, ad campaign around that. Like Bo Jackson part two. Just throwing it out there, man. Again, guys, James Pierce Jr. is with us live in the Ticketmaster Studios. Again, two first-round picks. What has the team told you? Have they told you anything about it, what they expect from you and what they expect you to do?
That's
see game. Quarterback, get quarterback.
Exactly. It's still a bottom line business, and pretty sure I got to come here and produce just like any other player on this team and stuff like that and do what's best for the team at all costs.
James, you went to Tennessee. Your decision to go there, outside the money. we can say that now, NIL. Hey, I mean, come
now
on.
Now it's legal, baby.
That's right, man. I ain't tripping. But seriously, you had a chance to go pretty much anywhere you wanted in the SEC. What was your decision there? And I heard Coach Heupel talk about you one of his first big recruits.
It was big to me. Mom liked it. It was super close to home. It was Tennessee. I went there to hunt 2000 screaming. Mm-hmm. It was just a different feeling. It was just something that I was more connected with. And then Coach Heupel liked to score a lot of points. Teams got to be able to keep up. I like to rush the passer.
Yeah. Easy formula there for you, right?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Well, that's why he produced 27 and a half sacks, guys, for loss.
All SEC twice.
And this is what we're
getting. First team.
17 and a half sacks the last two seasons, and that's why we're excited, James, because it's something we've been lacking, obviously, with our Falcon organization. In your conversations, Mike asked you, you know, what they've told you, but what do you think you bring? Like, Falcon fans are listening right now, and they're saying, all right, James, man, what you going to bring to the squad?
Just right now, Dominic's ready to learn, ready to get to it, and ready to figure out how I can affect the game at the next level. So,
right on. We talked to Jalen about this because it's a strange journey. You, how much did you watch the coverage when people like let's punch up James Pierce Jr. What they say and all the things that get thrown out there about you. Do you feel like you're just a piece of meat at the combine? How was that interview process?
No, I didn't feel like that. I know, like I said, it's a bottom line business. You feel me? So I know I really don't take it too personal.
Right.
I understand that they want to get to know me, so I don't take it really too personal. I just go with the flow for the most part.
Right.
Well, you've done a heck of a job, man, getting ready for this thing. And last night was a lot of fun for Falcon fans and seeing this all come together. Obviously, we're not done. Hopefully, we'll add some more pieces. But welcome to the A, man. We're excited to have you. Uh-huh. And I think a lot of people are going to be surprised when they get a chance to see you on a Sunday-by-Sunday basis, brother.
Yeah, nah. In this red, that would be great.
And by the way, you know, in the old days, as in like 3 years ago, we used to ask guys, what are you going to do when you get that contract? Now you probably had a cool whip at Tennessee, right?
Yeah. I got a nice car, I feel like. It's the car I want. I probably won't be getting another car until.
Yeah.
Right, but it's funny because it's funny. I don't know. Do you take a pay cut, Carl, when you come in the NFL nowadays?
Depends.
Hey, man, welcome to the A, man.
Uh-huh, for sure, no doubt.
Right. About Pierce, Mike, what can you say?
They look,